Hello, my name is Natalie Gamzu. I am a singer, an actress, and a cabaret artist. I live in Melbourne, Australia, and I'm originally from South Africa. Thank you so much for listening to my voice demo. The Handmaid's Tale, Margaret Atwood. We go past the shops and come to the barrier again, and are passed through. We continue on among the large, empty-looking houses, the weedless lawns. At the corner near the house where I'm posted, Avglen stops, turns to me. "Under his eye," she says, "the right farewell." "Under his eye," I reply. And she gives a little nod. She hesitates as if to say something more, but then she turns away and walks down the street. I watch her. She's like my own reflection, in a mirror from which I am moving away. In the driveway, Nick is polishing the whirlwind again. He's reached the chrome at the back. I put my gloved hand on the latch of the gate, open it, push inward. The gate clicks behind me. The tulips along the border are redder than ever, opening, no longer wine cups, but chalices, thrusting themselves up. To what end? They are, after all, empty. When they are old, they turn themselves inside out, then explode slowly, the petals thrown out like shards. Joe Cinque's consolation, Helen Garner.
"Joe just came back from his overseas trip," said Mrs. Cinque in her husky, blurred voice. "He started working for the same company his father and grandfather used to work for. He was employed as engineering project manager. Couple weeks later, he went out with his friends to the brewery, a nightclub near the wharf here in Newcastle. He met this Indian girl who was studying in Canberra. She was home for Christmas holidays. Her parents were going to move down to Sydney. I got nothing against anyone, but when he said she was Indian, I know the culture difference. I was worrying about it. He says, 'She's nice, I like her, she's very intelligent.' And she started to call on the phone. Joe used to come home from work about 6 o'clock for tea. We haven't got a TV in the kitchen because one thing I always insist, we had tea together. 6 to 6:30 was the special time. We like to tell what happened to everyone during the day. But she started ringing up about 6:15. Of course, he stopped. He went to the phone for 1-2 hours every night. To me, it was not normal to talk so long on the phone. One night he went upstairs and I pick up the phone down here and I said, very abrupt, 'In this house, we have tea from 6 to 6:30. Can you please ring after that?'" Stumm. Jem Lester. I feel stiff, cold and depressed this morning. Valentine's Day. What a laugh. My dreams kept waking me last night. A recurring scene aboard a jumbo jet. I was sat in the very back row, hemmed in by the largest family in the world. They passed me over their heads to the aisle, and I struggled down the length of it towards the front of the plane. But it went on for miles, an aisle stretching beyond the horizon. And when I finally reached a curtain, 2 burly stewards refused me access. "But I'm joining my wife," I kept saying. "She's in first class." But they wouldn't let me pass, kept slapping me in the face, and from behind the curtain I could hear Emma laughing. "Keep an open mind." "Sorry, Dad, what was that?" "Keep an open mind," he says. Jonah is already at school and we sit in the kitchen drinking coffee. My mind is completely open.
"Empty, for sure."
"No, actually, I'm completely open to the idea that it's going to be shit."
"Emma couldn't come?"
"We've decided it's for the best, that I handle things at the moment. She trusts my judgment."
"She's brave."
I ignore the sarcasm and drain my coffee. "Come, let's go."